a small child light up when the chickens come running for a Cheerio. And that joy, that's like the greatest reward that we can get.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet. Yes, within your browser at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial, the thing with the knobs or the buttons. You can preset to 102.9. That's the number. Here in our glorious studio today with a couple of folks, Lauren Maloney and Ryan Maloney. Thank you for doing this. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about rescue farm animals?
Yes.
That sounds fascinating.
It has been an adventure and a journey all in one.
We'll start unpacking some of that. So for folks to know, like, who's Steve talking to? Why don't you give us a little bit about your background and how you got into Franklin, and eventually we'll get into, obviously, the rescue stuff. And
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in Framingham and met my husband, who is from Medway, and we had children and settled in Franklin about 14 years ago.
Okay.
And we have loved the town, loved the community.
Yep.
And, you know, we live in a little house in the woods, so we just decided, let's spread out, and we got pets.
Some interesting pets, mm-hmm. Not the normal kind of pets.
Correct. Well, we do have a few, you know, normal pets, like dogs and cats. But a few years ago, we, right after COVID hit, we decided that we were going to really just do chickens and ducks and what was the best way to find those animals.
Mm-hmm.
And after COVID, it was animal shelters.
Right.
So we reached out to a few animal shelters. We rescued and adopted some chickens, some ducks. We have them at our house, love them. And then our daughter, who has the animal bug like we do, came to us a few years ago and said, guys, I want a pig. And we were like, no. Absolutely not.
It started with, I want a mini pig.
I want a mini pig. Mm-hmm. You know, something nice and small.
Yeah, I want it in my house. And we're like, absolutely not. We're like, you know what? Do the research and then let us know. Well, she researched for a solid year about mini pigs and pricing and food and everything top to bottom, presented us with this PowerPoint presentation.
Definitely.
Because, you know, she was 11.
Sure.
That's what you do.
Of course.
And we decided, you know what, we're going to take this seriously. We're not doing a mini pig. We reached out to a shelter that we have used before, and they said, yeah, we actually do have a pig here. So then we kind of felt obligated to go look at this pig. because where are the, you know, in Dedham, are you going to find a pig?
Right.
So we went and we met Mike the pig. He was 6 years old. He was a rescue that they had taken in, and we just fell in love.
But he wasn't a mini pig.
He is not a mini pig. And living with us for these past few years, he is even less of a mini pig. So we actually brought our daughter and said, you know, it was 2 weeks before Christmas. We're like, Merry Christmas. This is your pig, Mike. And we put Mike in a crate and brought him home in our SUV, which he would never fit in now. And we did. We built him his own house. He's got this beautiful, beautiful home. And we just love him.
Yep.
We love him. He walks around. He is like a 350-pound dog out in our backyard.
Okay.
He was very nervous at first with the ducks and the chickens walking around.
Right.
So as time has gone on, we've taken down fences and walls, and now he just free roams in our large space in our backyard along with the ducks and our chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And lives his best life. So Mike has become sort of our jumping off point of where we would get farm animals.
Our main attraction.
Right.
Right after we adopted Mike, Ryan said to me, so I found this website that has goats for rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want goats. And then that weekend, he brought me down to the farm and was like, look it. And then we ended up with a few rescue goats.
A few rescue goats.
Yep.
Started with three. Mm-hmm. They were siblings. Two were direct siblings. One was a half sibling. He had the same father, different mother.
Okay.
But we started with the three goats, and we figured, oh, goats are great. You know, mm-hmm. we can use them to clear out some of the stuff that we have to expand right. for the animals.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, we soon discovered that our goats, like everything else that we have, is spoiled and doesn't eat the growth that we want them to eat.
They our decided, goats do not like to goat.
No. They decided that they were only going to eat stuff that we didn't want them to eat, mm-hmm. or they would eat the brush after we cut it down. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We didn't want to eat it while it was growing.
Oh. So that kind of defeats the purpose of them really helping.
Kind of defeated the purpose of what I thought, you know, goats would do, mm-hmm. you know, yep. having read and seen stuff about goats. And, oh, they can clear an acre of poison ivy. Well, they don't clear anything.
They are very good, though, at watching us clear the poison
yes.
ivy.
But they have become more, you know, we call them union goats mm-hmm. because they're, you know, that's how they do it.
Yep.
But we ended up with a fourth, which turned out to have the same mother as a couple of the other goats. So they're all siblings in a way. Mm-hmm. They're all male goats. None of them have horns. They've all been disbudded.
Mm-hmm.
But
they were not bred. They were bred originally to be breeders, but they somewhere in their lines, their genes were not meant for breeding. So the farms castrated them, and then that's where they became just
rescue animals.
Exactly.
Yep. The available.
Because
right.
No one wants a goat to take care of if they can't breed or milk. And we did. So we were like, yep, we'll take them. And one of them we knew was very sick. So we said, we'll take him and give him his best life.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And sadly, he did pass. So we had five at one point. Now we have the four. And then we reached out to the Animal Rescue League of Dedham again and said, you know, we saw this duck on your website and we've got the duck. So we went, we got that duck. We brought that duck home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to adopt a cat from my dad from the Rescue League again. And while we're there, three chickens just strutted through that parking lot. And I literally looked at my daughter and I said, we are here for Grandpa. There's no more animals coming home with us. Needless to say, an hour later, we were driving home with our three chickens in the car with us, you know, and very slowly we add animals now. And then just most recently, we did rescue two other pigs that were 9 and 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
They're a bonded pair. Their names are Millie and Dash. And same thing at the Rescue League, and they said they've been here for quite some time and we were going to move them to a different location to try to get some interest.
Yep.
No one takes 9 and 10 year old pigs that are mm-hmm. blind.
that can pose some
complications. It's a very
hard
thing. And we said, okay, let's load them up and bring them to our mm-hmm. house. And so they did. We had them, you know, brought to us, and they're going to live their best lives with mm-hmm. us on our property. And they do. They are fantastic. You know, mm-hmm. if you've never met a pig, which most people have not.
Other than in a zoo, I can't say, although I think, in one of my Africa journeys, we did run into some pigs. So that was probably the other kind of exposure to it. But it's not something you do every day.
It is not. And, you know, this, based on the size of them and the way some of them look, like our two pigs or two of the males, they are intimidating looking. So people get very, very nervous.
Yep.
They are just giant dogs.
Uh-huh.
They love the attention, scratches behind the ears. They love the fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, so this farm really just picked us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It all started with Mike and then the goats. And I think now we just rescued quail because Ryan had seen a post on Facebook in a group saying, you know, if no one comes and gets these, we're just going to let them out.
Oh.
And so 45 minutes later, he was off and running and came home with a crate full of quail and built an enclosure for them. And
I was going to say, because they wouldn't necessarily fit in with some of the others, or could they eventually?
So quail are interesting because, as we have learned,
and about to learn more, probably. Mm-hmm.
And we are learning as we go. Quail are ground dwellers,
right.
But they can fly. So,
kind of like the turkeys, because occasionally I see
turkeys in a tree
flying. Yes.
Yes.
our ducks and chickens do not fly.
Right.
The ducks don't fly because the breeds that we have, they're just not bred to fly.
Right.
But quail do fly. They're short flyers. But had these been released into the wild,
mm-hmm.
you know, they never would have survived.
Right.
And we're not those kind of people to just let something be let go because somebody thought it was cute on an Easter card.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then realized that it's more work than they originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up living with us.
Right.
You know, some of our, as we said earlier, normal pets have come to us the same way.
Well, you're defining, I think, a new normal.
Yes. In our house, everything is normal. There is no, you know, no animal that is off limits. I mean, to the point of I'll call Ryan and say, I just saw her on Facebook, someone is giving away an emu. And we don't even say no anymore. We just say, how far? What's it going to take? What's the enclosure like?
Can we do it?
And my mom will, you know, laugh at us and be like, no is the response to that. I'm like, well, you know, you never want to say no. You want to explore the options and see if it's a fit. You know, yes, we've had to say no to a few things, but we do try to make everything fit.
Right.
Knowing that anything that does come to our house is going to live with us for the rest of its life.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that we can provide
right.
for them. And
right.
that's realistically what we've done with any animals we've taken on. Can we do this long term? Can we, you know, take them? And can our daughter stop saying she would like to rescue this animal? So she has picked up our bug as well again. And
uh-huh.
she rescued two
right.
doves and four pigeons herself. And we built an aviary for them in the
okay.
back. And
okay.
you know what? It's great. We do it as a family. We're out there every day. And
yep.
we work our jobs. We go to school, play sports, come home to our animals, maintain everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's something good as a family that we do, but it's also showing that these animals give us as much love as we give to them.
Sure. Yeah. And it's in the world. So there's a circle of life
mm-hmm.
and you're heavily into that part of it. You
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Well, we all know, I mean, we've lost, you know, as she said, we lost one of the goats. That was a little harder than losing a chicken.
Yeah.
But even losing a chicken,
sure.
you know, it's hard. You know, it's tough. You come out and it's passed away in the coop. And,
yep.
you know, okay, we say our goodbyes. And we know that even the kids, it's
yep.
a circle of life.
It is.
You know, it is something that it's never easy because, again, they're
right.
not just an animal there. They are pets to us.
Right,
everyone
right.
has a name.
Yes.
Everyone has a personality.
And you've got the relationship that you've
mm-hmm.
built over the time
exactly.
with them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And our daughter goes out and, believe it or not, one of the things that, you know, we learned about pigs as we went, despite the fact that, yes, they love to play in mud, they are very clean.
Yes.
They do not eat or use the bathroom in their house. They will go outside.
Ah.
So all of our animals, except the pigs, are locked up securely at night.
Yep.
The pigs cannot because they have to be able to leave
sure.
to
mm-hmm.
do their business.
Yep.
But Mike knows our daughter's voice. I mean, he has learned all of our voices.
Sure.
But he will hear her and he comes out of his house
mm-hmm.
every time.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. He may have just gone in
mm-hmm.
and he's just settling down, but he hears her and he comes back out.
Yep.
He also knows the sound of a bag of apples.
Yeah.
So
ah,
he will come out for a bag of apples.
The proverbial bell.
Yep.
Exactly.
The indication. Food time.
They
food
all
time.
They all know what Cheerio boxes look like.
Uh-huh.
We have a game called Cheerio Chase.
Cheerio Chase.
where we will go out with just a bag of Cheerios and the ducks, the chickens, everybody.
They'll just follow.
Mm-hmm. We just scatter the Cheerios around the yard. And they all run around and chase them, and Mike does the same thing, and he'll, every once in a while, one of the chickens will get too close to the pile of Cheerios mm-hmm. that he wants, and he just kind of gives them a push with his head, and they know, all right, we're going to leave this big guy alone, and we'll just find another pile of Cheerios to eat.
There's no fighting. There's enough for everybody. Just share.
It really is, and that was, you know, how our farm came about. It was really, you know, social media, and we found something that you know, we just wanted to give a better life. And ultimately, they chose us. I always feel like, you know, the shelter will call us and say, we had this quail. Can you take it? We know you have quail. So they can't manage one. They're a social animal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we'll take it. You know, so we developed a good relationship with the shelter.
We've had two local, we've had a couple of families in Franklin through the website reach out because, again,
their flocks may have decreased or they're moving. Situations change.
Oh, yeah.
And you know they're loved because they're doing the right thing to try to find them a good home.
Definitely.
And we always do our best to make those additions welcome. Mm-hmm. And we do tell people, like, come by, see our animals, meet them. They love to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. And that's one of the days this summer we were sitting on the deck and I was talking to my daughter and I just looked out over all these animals in our backyard and I said, when did I become more farm than fancy?
Is that where that came
from?
That
is literally a light bulb went off and I said, oh my goodness, we have just stumbled on something. And my daughter said, I'm missing the point here. And I said,
she wasn't on the same page
she
yet.
She was not on the same page. And so from that moment on, the more farm than fancy sort of became our moniker because realistically, I have a background of 23 years of high-end retail. And so now here I am getting up at 5 a.m. to open pigs and goats and chickens. And I'm like, wow, this is my second chapter. This is a full circle moment. Here we go. And I started branding some T-shirts and things, selling them at local craft fairs.
Right.
And the profits from that line go to support our animals.
Sure.
Because as you can imagine,
they like Cheerios they like apples and they like a lot of other things.
We have about 40 farm animals right now. So
40. Wow.
Give or take between the chickens, the ducks, the quail, the bunnies, the pigs, and the goats.
Yep, the bunnies came into it as well. That was another one of my Facebook
findings.
And said, hey, there's this pair of bunnies that, you know, unfortunately, you know, they couldn't keep. And they, again, something that somebody was just going to say, you know, they, you know, when we see these posts about, you know, I'm just going to let them outside. Like I already said, it's not fair.
No.
So I drove down and met this person down the, you know, down towards the Cape area and took what was, you know, a pair of bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we found out 2 weeks later that that pair of bunnies was a mother and father, and we ended up with going from two bunnies now to
eight bunnies.
They do habitually breed, right?
Yes.
So
yes, they
that do. Went from an interesting where we had a small enclosure for two bunnies to
but not big enough,
you know,
for
we had to separate them once she had the babies.
Yep.
Right.
And then just recently we took and separated the boys to one side and the girls to the other. And even then I would look out and say, okay, how did he get from his side to her side?
Uh-oh.
And I'd try to watch to see where he was getting through and I'd patch this spot.
Yeah.
And then I look out and I'm like, oh, he's over there again. So where did so it's always a work in process.
Sure.
You know, 5:30 this morning, my daughter told us last night as I was closing everybody up, she goes, oh, by the way, tomorrow before you open up my pigeons, some of the fencing fell down. So you need to fix that.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, okay. You couldn't have told me that when it was daylight. But that's fine. So at 5:30 this morning, I'm out there with some temporary fixes with some zip ties, ties and duct
zip
tape.
Ties.
You know?
That's it.
You know, duct tape solves a lot of things, but zip ties, especially around fencing, you know, they can work nicely.
I discovered earlier last year that they make stainless steel zip ties. And I I was like, you know what?
I've usually just seen plastic, but stainless steel.
My world just changed when I found metal zip ties.
I know.
Wow.
And, you know, with farm animals, they are definitely more durable because they're not being chewed.
This is
but
true.
But they're also, you know, they're not, they will hold up to a pig pushing against them, which is the best
the strength,
part about it.
The strength. Now last longer in the weather, too.
Exactly.
Plastic just kind of melts in the sun.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was, that was a game changer in a farm life, you know.
Uh-huh.
But 5:30 this morning, I'm out putting up temporary patches and goes out when the sun came out and she goes, okay, it passes. I'm like, oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
She is our toughest critic.
Yes.
She didn't even say thank you.
No.
She says it passes.
It passed. And maybe we could get a couple more. And we're like, no, absolutely not. But that is really, I mean, like I said, everything just sort of falls into place and that's how our little line came about. And
more farm,
more
than,
farm
fancy.
Than fancy. And one of the things as we go to craft shows, we expand it into different animals, or someone will say, oh, I'm a beekeeper. So I came up with a beekeeper shirt, and oh, we love this. So we've sort of changed. We've gone from t-shirts to sweatshirts, long sleeve t-shirts, hats. Of course, most of the things that I make, I do it all by hand, and I silk screen them, and they're something that means something to me. So
oh,
I
so
love
so it's your own production system,
it
too.
It is. It is
because
me
you,
in
you
my
get your
garage.
Background.
Yes. So we'll do the designs ourselves or the sayings, and then I will cut the stencil and silk screen everything by hand. And then we do go to these craft shows. I love when people come up to us. We usually will try to have pictures of the animals out at the table so that people can say, what is this? And we're like, that's Mike. You know, Mike has just become a one-word thing now. Just a few weeks ago, right before Christmas, we had done an open farm. Like, come on over, see our animals. And we had a great response. We had a bunch of neighbors and people from the town come and just love on our animals. And it was fantastic.
Yep.
So we're really excited. We're excited for this brand to take off and grow more as it lets us. And then we can rescue more animals.
Sure. Yeah, that's a growing opportunity. And we'll see how far you can grow.
I know. At some point, we're going to be out of property.
Yeah,
but, you know, every pig needs a home. So.
Right. So there are limitations. You've already made some of those, but you may find some new ones depending upon what's happening.
Absolutely. We always, like I said, we never say no unless we really think we can't offer something long term.
Because
even with the two bunnies, you know, people have asked, are you going to, you know, adopt out the babies? And at first we thought about it, and then we were like, nope, they're going to be here. We know what we can offer them. We know what we, you know, can do. And they're going to do, like, live their best lives with us.
Sure.
And they definitely do, you know, and we have, like, family discussions over the dinner table, not about how was your day. It was, well, what are we going to name this one? Okay. You know, oh, you were on the website, and what did you find today? So, you know, we do it as a family of four, and it's a great adventure. It's a really cool journey.
That sounds good. I mean, other than maybe some screen time to the extent that you're finding things, you're having the conversations and you're doing things, which, as I've seen, unfortunately, in some places, you know, I don't think enough people do that.
Yeah, it was an adjustment for our two children. At the time, they were a little bit younger. Now they are 13 and 17. So to get, you know, two teenagers outside off screens was a challenge, but now they understand the responsibility and they want to be out there. And
well, that's their friends.
Exactly. And it's great. And even like their friends will come to our house and be like, oh, can we help? I mean, my daughter's friends have come to the house and they'll be like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, you're mucking the goat house. Here's a fork. So I came up for my daughter's friends of Farm Girl. And anytime anyone who cleans a stall gets a Farm Girl t-shirt because you are officially a Farm Girl. So, you know,
but it's not just
a
give. You've got to earn it.
Earning situation. Yeah. Unless you purchase one, you are earning it at our house.
Right.
But it's great.
That's fair.
It's been a really cool adventure over these past 3 years, and we're just really looking forward to doing it more.
What else can we add? What else can we do?
Yeah. What other animal needs us? What other animal?
Yeah. So back to the, you find things in, are there specific, not that you have to name it, but are there specific places you go to, or you just search for a particular term in terms of rescue or
it's
whatever?
Just
or
certain, you know, we're both on just different farm sites.
Okay.
But even through like following, you know, news channels.
Sure.
You know, there was one, you know, again, recently out in Western Mass where they took, I think it was almost 200 animals from a hoarding situation.
Yes.
And the animals were all in bad conditions.
Yep.
That's how some of ours, that's how, again, I think that's the quail that we took, I think, were a similar situation. Again, we don't, most of them come from the shelter. So I'm sure, you know, even when we had the goats, we looked into adding more because there was that situation down in the Taunton area, I think last year, And the shelter was very open and honest with us and said, you know, we would not recommend putting these goats with yours because the background that they have, they do have diseases that can be transmitted. So they said, you know, they said, if you didn't have goats already, you'd be fine.
Yep.
Sure.
But you don't want to add them.
You don't want to mix.
We do need to be careful with that.
Yep.
But we also do have a vet that comes to the house.
Okay.
And finding a farm vet is a feat in and of itself.
Yes.
I'm sure it might be, yeah.
But we did get lucky and find one that travels. So they come out, they do the yearly checkups.
Yep.
For the larger animals.
Yep.
And then we have an avian vet that will do the ducks, the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the groups we belong to, we all work together. So if
right.
you have a trick, then you tell us. Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
and it's becoming a bigger community, certainly.
Sure.
But with that community of knowledge also comes the, well, we're moving, or this situation
yes.
has happened.
Right.
You know, life's changed.
Yeah.
And you do. We all want to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to say no and step away from the digital to be
right.
like, we can't help everyone
right.
With right. their animals. But we do. We use the Animal Rescue League for a lot of them. And social media is another great site.
Yeah, there are some significant bad parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that from that connection standpoint, awareness standpoint, coordination in terms of communications, I mean, that's how you popped up on the radar
Absolutely.
Somewhere along the way. And I said, wait a minute, this is a story.
Yeah.
I want to find out what's going on. This is in Franklin. This mm-hmm. is my backyard. What's going on? So, and it also coincidentally, in my corporate life, I had developed the line, you know, facilitate the network and then let the net work. You're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
By building through the vets, through the different groups, now the other piece, and it was a recent book that I read last year, and I've been using the term because it comes up. When you do something, then there's something that's adjacent to it. And by doing that, those adjacent things become possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in your network and then their networks, those circles start overlapping. So somebody somewhere is going to pop up and say, I've got this or this has happened, and then the communications happen and things happen.
Right. And that's the biggest thing we'll get is, where are you in Franklin? And we kind of tell them the vague area and they're like, there's animals over there? And we're like, well, they're in our backyard. So yes, you know.
Like she said, we get people messaging, you know, if we mm-hmm. can, if we allow visitors. And again,
yeah.
we do.
Yep.
It's just, you know, we set up times because it
sure.
is our backyard.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's your backyard. You still have a life. You
yep.
still have work
but
life as well.
We absolutely
right.
want to welcome, you know, we want to welcome people because we want to, you know, get the word out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have had, you know, with her line, the More Farm Than Fancy, you know, like she said, she was at the craft show and
yep.
met a local author and they wrote the article and, you know, we started that way and, you know, we're here today doing this and it's to get things out and
mm-hmm.
get people more involved. Especially in today's day and age where everything is digital, everybody's
yeah.
on a TV, everybody's on a computer.
Right.
You know, to have these families come and see stuff and be able to interact with these animals. I mean, it's a petting zoo.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a petting zoo in our backyard.
Sure.
And, you know, it's, you know, we've, again, had people reach out to say, hey, can you help with this? But we've also had people reach out to say, how can we help you?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's
right.
been great. You know,
that's,
I mean,
that's
we
a good
get,
piece.
We've had stuff donated. I mean, I build my son and I, and even my wife and daughter, you know, we build all the enclosures.
Sheds, the enclosures,
yeah.
right.
Some of the structures that we have, we've repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've repurposed, you know, our goat house was the original property owner's chicken coop.
Okay.
And it had sat, it needed some work. We restructured it, we repurposed it, we made it a goat house.
Mm-hmm.
What is now the chicken coop used to be just an old garden shed.
Okay.
That we fixed and replaced rotted boards on
mm-hmm.
and made it, you know, a chicken coop.
Yep.
You know, we get, you know, places do free pallets. Well, I'll tell you, pallets make fantastic flooring and walls
mm-hmm.
and
absolutely
everything else. And that's where we, you know, we, again, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. Sure.
I see free wood or free this.
Yep.
And
free wood and fencing. Those are our magic
yep.
words.
Magic
we
words.
Are there.
I, you know, even our son, he comes home one day and he goes, "Hey, I found this big giant wooden electrical spool on the side of the road."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of it for the goats. And how he managed to shove this into the back of a Ford Focus, I don't know. But he did. And, you know, it's funny because our goats could have cared less, but our rabbits love it.
Yep.
The rabbits love it.
They love it. They go, you know, it's a round big wooden spool. Yep. And they can go under it. They can get on top of it.
Sure.
And it also works great because it holds an umbrella to keep the sun off of people.
Yes.
So we multi-purpose a lot, but we try to repurpose as much as we can. So, okay. As they say, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
True.
You know, one man's trash is another animal's house.
Yes.
So even our chickens, they have one of the a plastic Fisher-Price child's playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
That is in the middle of our backyard.
Sure.
But it gives them somewhere to go when it's sunny.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It gives them somewhere to go when it's raining.
Right.
And, you know, it's just
the end of
things.
The summer is a big favorite for people to message us. Be like, we have all these little plastic kiddie pools.
Yes
is our answer.
Sure.
We'll pick them up. We'll take them.
Yep.
Everyone loves a kiddie pool, including Mike and Millie and Dash. They love to climb in them. So, you know, we always just try to utilize anything we can for free or low cost just to keep everything going. And then we're lucky enough that, like I said, family, friends, the community will say, hey, what do you, you know, how can we do this? How can we help? We did end up starting an Amazon wish list because a lot of people want to send us cash and Venmo, and we just don't feel comfortable with that.
Right.
So, you know, we did come up with an Amazon wish list, and people have been so generous in sending items, you know, through that. Or they'll reach out and say, you know, we'd love to come over and clean.
Mm.
I have yet to utilize that, but I am going to. That is like as good as gold in my book.
Yeah. Learn how to muck out something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the really fun thing about this is when we have people come to the house and meet the animals, or if I'm at a craft show or with the vendor line, hearing people's stories about how they connect with farm animals, whether they grew up on a farm or their grandparents had a farm, or even seeing a small child light up when the chickens come running for a Cheerio and that joy, that's like the greatest reward that we can get, having these animals, seeing how excited the animals get, but also everyone that just comes and wants to love on them. These are things that not, you know, normally wouldn't happen.
Right.
So it's a pretty cool experience to be able to be part of that and let the town be part of it with us.
Absolutely, which is why we're doing this. So thank you for coming in.
So glad. I know. And it's, like I said, this is a career or a path that has chosen us, and it has been the coolest journey.
More farm than
fancy. Yes.
And it is something that we 100% just fell into.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just happened.
Just kind of happened. And even our family, you know, like she said, you know, she went from retail background, and, you know, I've always been hands-on, but our family's like, you know, how I just, you know, I understand, you know, people take in cats and this thing, like, I just don't understand, you know, and
how did you get a pig?
Over, they come over 1 week and we have one thing, and then they're over a couple of weeks later and they're like, hey, there's, I, you know, now there's
did
three
this,
pigs.
Is and, this house new? And
like,
there's, yeah, yes.
Where did this stuff come from? So it's always evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Always evolving. But again, we're always welcome to, you know, we just kind of welcome anybody and everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
It's kind of our...
It's our life now, and we love it.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, thank you again for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I think we'll have to schedule a video trip because people might want to see, especially if they can't get access for themselves. And there are some that may have that, but that's fine. We have some technology that we can do that with. And go visit Mike.
That would be fantastic.
We would
love that.
Mm-hmm.
He would love that.
Oh, yeah. For him to, you know... He has a face only a family can love. That is for sure. But he will make anybody family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
So,
oh, good. Well, thank you again for doing this.
Thank
Listeners,
you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this. We'll include in the show notes More Farm Than Fancy, your webpage. I think you got a Facebook page, Instagram link.
Absolutely.
As you add things or do some specials, we can certainly put that in the newsletter and make sure people get aware of that. And a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.